Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow.com. We're broadcasting live today from here at Cypress Community College. It's your host, Yusuf Estes, and we're in part two of comparing Christianity to Islam and showing where they complement each other. So thus far, we haven't really talked about Christianity other than to identify the fact that it comes from the word Christ or Christos, and so we haven't given it much of a fair shot. And we've talked a little bit about Islam, but mostly we've been talking about the concept of God. And by the way, both of these religions believe there's a God. Both of them talk about a God of Abraham, and it's the God of Moses and the God of Jesus, and according to Islam, also the God of Muhammad. But for the benefit of those who don't really believe there's a God, it's kind of like, well, moot point to us, who cares? So that's why I wanted to break down the first part of the program and talk about some of the proofs. And I just introduced the Arabic rendition of the first words revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, while he was in the mountain of Jabal Nur in the cave of Hira, 1,425 years ago. The translation of the words that I gave you now would be more or less like this. He was ordered by the angel Gabriel, Iqra, recite. Recite in the name of your Lord, who created mankind from a leech-like clot of blood that clings. Recite in your Lord is most generous, who taught man how to read and write. Taught man what he didn't know. Those were the first words that came. The angel left him there in the cave. When he went back to his family, he was very distraught because he said, this is scary, and I'm wondering if I'm crazy. His wife said, I don't think so, because you have always been honest and true and always worshiped God alone. He never worshiped any of their false idols and statues, things that they had there in the desert that time. She said, and also, you've always been a good person to bring families together. His name was As-Sadiq, which means the spirit of truth, the truthful. He was also called Al-Alamin, the comforter, the one who unites the families back together. These names he had and are mentioned even today in the English version of the book of, or Gospel of John, chapters 14 and 16 in the New Testament. So there's a comparison. That's going to be our maybe first comparison, inshallah. I want to mention that he didn't consider anything other than this was a powerful thing that happened, and this was all that came. There was a period of time, several months, before anything else came. Then it came to him and told him, because he was wrapped up, and said, O you who are wrapped up, arise and warn the people. Still, this was something for him to think, what's going on with this? But there were already people who knew his credibility, knew his status. He was well known, and he was from the royal family of Arabia at that time. And they believed him. But the majority of the people didn't, because the message he carried in the Arabic language was very clear, and it frightened them. It frightened them because it would destroy their economy, their way of life, and they didn't want to have any part of it. The message was La ilaha illallah. Allah. La ilaha illallah. The first word negates anything. It says la, which is the negative in Arabic language. No. Ilaha, I already mentioned that in part one when I told you about the word for God, anything to be worshipped. Ilah. There is no God. Illa means the exception or but. Illa Allah. There is no deity, no God, no object of worship or devotion, no thing, nothing, to worship, except the only one worthy of any worship, which is Almighty God. That's the statement that he came with. And it immediately turned off the people because they said, we don't want to obey this God. We've already made up our own gods, and we want to go with what they have. This, in essence, a summary of what happened over a period of a lot of years. I'm trying to put it in a nutshell. He was rejected, and those who followed him were rejected as well. There were not very many, maybe around 100 or so, over a period of about 10 or 12 years, and then they were actually put out in the desert, and they had sanctions against them for nearly 2 years. And some died, others became very ill. And then they finally migrated to Medina, or what used to be called Yathrib. And Medina means the city. They went to the city. And then everybody started calling it the city after that. Anyhow, these moot points, not really very important. Thing I want to mention, though, is that in a period of 23 years, this revelation of recitation, called Quran in Arabic, came to him piece by piece, bit by bit, here a little, there a little. And he always said what he heard, but he couldn't read, so it wasn't what he read, but rather what he heard. And he would recite what he heard. And sometimes he would give quite a bit of explanation to go along with it to help people understand how it applied to them. Some things were just left as is. These are the words, and nothing else mentioned along with it. For those who would like to go back and look at the comparison in the Bible, look in the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and notice that one is being told, and some of the translations to English say, the one who was ordered to proclaim. Others say, cry out. What shall I cry out? But actually it was Iqra, as I already read to you. Recite. What shall I recite? And it was that he recited, read in the name of your Lord. And it tells you also that it would come to him piece by piece, and he would recite what he heard, etc. The book of Isaiah chapter 40. There's a comparison of revelation for you. Now, Dr. Keith Moore, one of the top embryologists in the world in Toronto, Canada, was brought over to Arabia for the purpose, I think they went to Yemen or Saudi Arabia, to hold a conference about embryology and its reference in the Quran. What I mentioned to you just now about the creation of the alaqa is called in Arabic, is so correct to describe the beginning of a human being. He starts as a blood clot hanging to the wall of the uterus, clinging there, and it's leech-like, which the word alaqa also means, and the human is shaped like a small, tiny leech that you cannot see except under a microscope. So this is a proof that whoever did this 1,400 years ago had at least some idea of how the human being starts. But that's not all. There's a lot more. The Quran also refers to, in Revelation, a term called zygote, and also another term, mudga and nutfa. And all of these stages are mentioned, are also confirmed by Dr. Keith Moore. On our website at Islam Tomorrow, you can find the reference for this. If you don't find it, our website is huge. It's a spider web out there, and if you don't find it, you can email me and I'll help you find it. And our email is askislam@aol.com, askislam@aol.com. On a video on our website, you can see Dr. Keith Moore there, and he is saying that these, and he gives a projector, overhead projector images, and shows and demonstrates that the things from the Quran cannot be from a human being living at that time. He said it's not possible. He said this has to be from Allah or whatever, some God, because Muhammad couldn't have known these things. Now, this is only talking about one subject, which is the development of the human being, embryology. By the way, it also mentions the trimesters in the Quran 1,400 years ago. Then on the subject of the planets, the subject of the sun, and the subject of the earth, something that was only known very recently is the fact that the sun is in an orbit. We didn't know that a couple hundred years ago. And everybody knows not too many years ago, people thought that the earth was the center of the universe and the sun is going around the earth, because that's what it appears, right? If nobody tells you, you got to believe that, because you're standing still. You don't feel any movement out here. You'll never believe the earth is turning. Why would you think that? Looks like the sun is going around us, doesn't it? Well, in fact, the Quran mentions this, and it calls the earth by a word in Arabic, which means winding, turning. refers to an orbit for the sun. Now, you might say, well, yeah, well, the people thought it was an orbit around the earth, but it is not what it says in the Quran. Additionally, there's no reference to these timelines that we find in the Bible. It's not there in the Quran. It doesn't make this allegation of 5,600 years and that's that. There's no connection like this. It's left open. As far as when Adam comes along, it doesn't say it was 20,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago. It just says that that's the first man. So here's another comparison. First man is a man, single, not two, one. Now everything else in the Quran, Allah says clearly he created it in pairs, by twos. But he said he created man as Adam and calls him Adam, another comparison. It's pronounced Adam in Arabic and Hebrew and English and almost every other language out there. I think it's probably one of the few words that we all have the same as the word Adam. This is strange because it clearly states that in the Quran that Eve, or Hawa, is her name in Arabic, comes from his rib. Now that's really weird, because everything else in Quran tells what fits with what we know real clear from plant life, talking about the male and female within the plants. In fact, it was the Muslim scholars who really first developed the correct understanding that we have today, 1,000 years ago in Muslim Spain. This also on the website, you can get more of that over there. Now I talked about the universe itself is referenced in the Quran. The inner workings of the human being when he starts out as a little tiny speck, mentioned in Quran. But what about the fact that in the Quran it also refers to the mountains that stabilize the earth itself and has these deep roots that reach down, down into the ground, which are shaped like tent pegs, and the word in Arabic, autad. And the plate, which is underneath the European continent, if you look underneath, and there, it's in the geology books, you can get in your own library right here, get a geology book and look at it. And those long, pointy things look like stalactites down into the earth, like tent pegs, are right there. And how would you account for the fact that a person living in a sandy desert would make a lucky guess like that? Also, where the two seas meet together, but they don't mix. Jacques Cousteau wanted to do a program about that. They said that after he studied it, that the Muslims that worked with him told him, they said, it's been in the Quran for 1,400 years. So we find in a lot of scientific miracles here that are not easily explained by saying that sounds like the hooting of an owl or the ringing of the ice cream man's bell, as we mentioned in part one. But now I want to share with you something that's even, to me, more obvious, because it's something right in front of us. The words that came in the Quran taught man how to read and write, taught him what he didn't know. That's interesting to me, especially when you consider what the Quran actually is. Most people today consider Quran as a written word, but actually, that came later. The Quran was memorized by Muhammad, peace be upon him, and taught to his companions the same way, by sound, not by writing, because he didn't read or write. He taught them how to recite it, and they taught their companions how to recite it, and they taught their companions how to recite it on down until today. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. We have maybe 30, roughly 30 folks sitting here today. Am I right in this class? Anybody agree with that, roughly? Okay. If we start in the back room, and I ask you, I'm going to read a paragraph to you, and in the English language, I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to tell him, and he'll tell him, and him, and him, and he'll pass it, but nobody else can hear you guys passing it. And I'm only going to tell you, nobody else will hear me. By the time it gets over to number 30, will it still be exactly the same? No. Will it be close? No. 50%? Maybe. No. I've already done this too many times. When we have time in the class, especially the kids, they love to do it. But I always ask them, please don't try to add to it. Try to really say what you really, really heard. Try your best. And when it's 10, it's 50%. But when it's 30, you start out talking about planets, you wind up talking about pizza. Of course, it could be pizza planet, but the point is, that's all the people. And let's use All the people of the same age, same class, same room, same ethnic background, same language, all the same. Same time. Everything is same, right? And still you can't do it. What would be the chances using this same factor, that we will take 30 generations? That's 30 different time periods. And spread it over 800 different languages and cultures, and spread that over 1,400 years. And what would be the chance that any of that would still be the same? What, and ask yourself honestly, what would be the chance? What would be the factor that we could find one on one side of the earth and one on the other side of the earth that could have it? In fact, even in the same block, it could still have the same thing, even 50%. And it's zero factor. You can't do it. Yet today, the majority of the 1.5 billion Muslims on the earth are only 12% Arab, 88% non-Arab speakers. Non-Arab speakers. Yet all of the 1.5 billion Muslims on earth still recite at least some portion of the Quran exactly as it was recited in the Arabic language from memory. Factor that and come back and tell me what you get. But I won't stop there. Today we have over 9 million Muslims, the majority of which, 88%, are not Arab, who have memorized the entire Quran cover to cover. And we have some living right here in the Los Angeles area. I sat with them last night. Dot for dot, jot for jot, in the original language. There's no manuscript foul up with the Quran. There's no such thing as, well, there's another document that said this or that, or another reading says this or that. It's all exactly the same. This is Islam and this is Quran. Now it's time, Yusuf, to tell us about how does that equate to Christianity. Well, the Quran is not just for Muslims. It is not. Many times Allah speaks to Muslims. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe. Those are considered Muslims. But he also says, Ya al-kitab, O people of the book, which are the people of the Bible. The word kitab is book. The word Bible comes from biblios. Biblios means what? Book. Just book. That's what it means. Okay? Is the word Bible in the Bible? Yes or no? How many of you know for a fact it's not? Okay, it's not. I'll tell you it's not. And you can do word search real fast, because Strong's Concordance is now online. Word search, the word Bible, not in the Bible. By the way, just for fun, is the word Trinity in the Bible? No, not there. No way, Jose! It's interesting, because the Quran does contain the word Bible. So many times, I can't count it. I have word search for Quran right here on the laptop I'm holding right here. And it just goes on and on and on. So many, 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 many verses talking about the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the people of the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and it refers to it over and over and over. By the way, just for fun, this is a fun thing. How many of you know that the word evangel has something to do with the New Testament? Evangelical, evangel. Evangeline. What do you call it in Spanish? Evangelia. Huh? Evangelia. Evangelia. Comes from Arabic. Injil. Comes from the Arabic word for the New Testament, Injil. And by the way, that's what Arab Christians call it. And just for fun, it means good news. Gospel. So these are all correct. But the Quran is referring to that and does not criticize the Bible. Did you hear what I just said? The Quran does not criticize the Bible. So when I hear Muslims criticize the Bible, I want to slap them. I do. Because there's a popular trend in the last few years to try to debate with Christians whether or not the Word of God is the Bible or the Bible is the Word of God. Have you all heard about it? I want to slap them. Because the first words in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, which is the second chapter, are very clear. Dhalikal kitabu la rayba fi. Which means this is the book wherein there is no doubt. That's the Quran. Hudil lil muttaqin, which means this is the guidance for those who are God-fearing. Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaibi wa yuqimuna salata wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun. And this means, more or less to English, that these are the ones who believe in the unseen. This includes believing in God and believing in the next life. And they establish regular worship and they pay charity as a duty. They obligate themselves to pay charity. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. And they believe in what's being sent to you, Muhammad, and they believe in the Bible, the books that were sent before. And the Quran refers to the Zabur, the Psalms. That's the way to say Psalms in Arabic, Zabur. It refers to them in the book. It refers to the Suhufa Ibrahim wa Musa, which means the ancient scriptures of Abraham and Moses. And all of these are a condition of belief for a Muslim. So how in the world can you make such a stupid debate against what you're supposed to believe yourself? The Bible came from Allah. The fact they don't have it anymore is immaterial. The original Bible came from Almighty Allah. And what we have that survives in these copies and manuscripts, some of it is still similar or the right thing. And it's not for a Muslim to argue with it. Leave it alone. That's their book. If they want to buy into all of the stuff that's been added, let them do that. That's their choice. And Allah didn't order you to bother them about that. In fact, He ordered you to leave them alone about that and to treat them kindly and to argue with them in a way that is better, not a way that is worse. This is advice for Muslims right now. I don't want to get off my subject. I'm trying to do comparison. But just so you know, there is reference in Islam to the Bible. But it's nice, not bad. It's very kind. There's reference in the Quran to Trinity, and it says, tell them not to say three. That does say that. Tell them don't say three. Because it doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. But anyhow, now we'll come back and talk about some of the comparisons. What do we have that's the same thing? There is a group of people today, and I'm not going to say who they are, but I'm going to define them to the best of my ability, and I'm going to ask you if you ever heard of them. And if you know their label, tell me. They believe that there is a God, and that this God created everything in 6 days, and then He created a human being, called him Adam, brought his mate from his side, from a bone, and then both of them were in the paradise. They were ordered not to eat fruit. They ate the fruit. They got kicked out. They wandered on earth. They had nations of people came only from them. They're the only progenitors. And these people also believe that from them came people like Noah and Jonah. And they both had water experiences, by the way. One got flooded and the other one got consumed by a whale and then vomited back up. They also believe in David and Solomon, and they believe in the miracle birth of Jesus to Mary, immaculate conception, no human intervention, miracles that Jesus did, including curing blind people that were born blind, curing people of all kinds of skin diseases, curing people of sicknesses and lameness, curing people of so much, and even bringing a dead person back to life, bringing the dead to life. And these same people believe Jesus is the Christ, and He's with God right now, and He's coming back in the last day. And He's going to lead the real believers in Him to victory over the disbelievers, who are the evil people at that stage when that happens. Has anybody ever heard of a group of people like this? Just raise your hand, yes or no. No Muslim answer this. Only from non-Muslim. What are they called? Who else? No Muslim. Answer me. Anybody else?
Jehovah
Jehovah's Witness. Anybody else? Actually, they're called Muslims. How many Muslims believe everything I just said? Do you know your wow that you just did right there made it worth it all for me to come from Washington, D.C. to hear you say that? Thank you. But really, because the only reason I do this, they don't pay me to do this. I'm retired prison chaplain. The only reason I do this is so that I can share people this knowledge that most people don't know. And you sure made me happy today. What's your name?
Charles.
Charlie? Chuck? Thanks. Appreciate it, man. You made my day. That was a cool wow. Wow! How many Muslims, or anybody, I'm assuming only Muslims, but who knows. But how many in this room have met someone who memorized the entire Quran cover to cover in Arabic language? How many of you met somebody right here in Los Angeles area that memorized the Quran cover to cover? How many of you, we have one here? Where? Jazakallah khair. I want the one who has the Quran. If you, I'm not trying to give you a hard time. Stand up for 1 second, please. Is it this one? Okay. You have the whole Quran?
Yeah.
Cover to cover?
Yeah, I did like 2 years.
How long did it take?
Less than 2 years.
It's usually about 18 months. You did it less than that?
Yeah.
You get a good mind. May Allah preserve it and preserve you and preserve His book, I mean. Jazakallah khair. What's your name? Mubashir. Everybody knows what's Mubashir? Good news, baby. Zakallah khair, good news. That's the meaning of his name. Wow. Mubashir. Zakallah khair. That's another wow for me. Glad to have you with us today. Let me ask this, though. How many in this room know somebody who has, in your own family, memorized at least 10 chapters of the Quran in Arabic, original language, just as Muhammad did? How many of you here right now know at least a few of the verses in the original Arabic language, or at least a chapter or two? Raise your hand. Oops. Now, I'm going to share with you that all 1.5 billion Muslims on earth have a knowledge of the original language of the book that they work out of, and they know what it means. The language is not a dead language. It is not Koine Greek or dead Latin. It is living Arabic. Anybody impressed with that? You impressed? Got another wow for me? Charles is going, wait a minute, what is this? I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm just trying to make you aware of something. There's a train coming. The same books, that even though distorted, even though translated to English, and by the way, we do not consider the Quran in English to be a correct translation, because the Quran clearly states that you cannot translate it or bring a book like it. Allah made it impossible. If you really want to know what it means, you have to do what I did. You have to study the Arabic language. You have to learn it. But once you do, it's worth it. It is worth it. Take you 6 to 8 weeks in a crash course in Arabic, but you sit down with it and you go, yes, sir. I know what I'm reading, and nobody's going to tell me, you know, I don't want to use the Arabic, the Texas version of this one, but nobody will spit on my boots and tell me it's raining. There we go. I cleaned that one up. Alhamdulillah. I'm from Texas. You know us Texans. Either with us or... No, sorry. Sorry. I meant don't mess with Texas. Okay. Ooh, we're 28 and a half minutes into it, we're going to have to wrap it up. I want to mention this in closing. There are a lot of things between all of us as human beings that are a lot more similar than we think. If we just take the time to look at each other and appreciate the good in each other and kind of overlook the bad. The Muslim is taught not to hate a person, although you can hate the evil that they do. The concept in Christianity and Islam is very similar. We pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In fact, that prayer is called istikhara, the prayer of asking for God's will. But the term itself, doing God's will and following his commandments, mentioned many times in the New Testament by Jesus in the Gospels, negated by Paul in his teachings, but confirmed by Jesus in his teachings, are the same teachings in Islam. Do the will of God. Follow the commandments. And be good to each other. There's nothing new here. And when they asked Jesus in the chapter called Mark, book called Mark, chapter 12, verse 28, 29, and it says that they asked him concerning the great commandment, and he said, the greatest commandment is to know, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And you have to love him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And the second commandment is like the first, that you have to love your brother as yourself. The Muslim is commanded the same way, that a Muslim prefers for his brother what he wants for himself. And that no one is a believer who goes to sleep at night with his stomach full while his neighbor's, regardless of their religious belief, while his neighbor's stomach is empty. Isn't this the kind of teaching that we'd like to see in our kids today? Isn't this the kind of teaching we'd like to see in the world today? Isn't this really what a nice religion would be all about? And I end by mentioning to you this. I consider the original Christianity to be the right religion of that time, and the original Judaism of the time of Moses to be the right of that time, just as I consider the religion of Muhammad to be correct for this time. But I don't really see much difference in the original teachings at all. I think the religions are just fine. I think the people are the mess up. And I hope and I pray that somebody will take the initiative to study this more and pray about it more and get involved more so we can solve some of these problems that people do in the name of religion. I'll end with that. Those of you online, stay tuned for more Islam Tomorrow.